Lyme disease is a topic that's really getting under people's skin these days, with controversy raging over diagnosing and treating this debilitating illness. A new investigative report out this week suggests that many Lyme disease tests may not be accurate. The tests in question are FDA-exempt alternative tests that many people seek out to get answers for their Lyme-like symptoms. One of the labs conducting these tests is based right outside Philadelphia. Joining us now is the author of this article, Beth Daly, from the New England Center for Investigative Reporting. Beth, thank you so much for being here.
Oh, thanks for having me.
Beth, can we start by distinguishing between the federally recommended tests for Lyme disease and the alternative tests?
So there's a big difference. The federally recommended tests, it's been vetted, it's been looked at by independent scientists, and to make sure that the test accurately is diagnosing the number of people they say they are, and also screening out people who don't have the disease. The other tests, which claim to have a better accuracy rate, may, but you don't really know because they haven't been sort of independently reviewed by any scientist or peer-reviewed journal. It's really people have to take the lab's word that the test works.
Usually tests are federally regulated. Why not for Lyme?
Well, that's a really good question. And it turns out a lot of tests are not federally regulated. Back in the 1970s, when the Food and Drug Administration began regulating diagnostic tests, they exempted what was then a really small group of tests. These are, if you can think about it, basically tests that were done in hospitals. They were like maybe variations on very common tests or sort of low risk. In recent years, a lot of companies have sort of used this exemption to basically market tests, diagnostic tests, to the public through doctors that have not been validated in any way. They don't have to prove to the FDA the test does what it says it does. Some of them do publish peer-reviewed literature to have independent reviews, but not all do. So at the end of the day, it becomes really, really difficult for a doctor or a patient to distinguish good tests from bad tests.
If a person thinks they have Lyme disease and they go to their doctor, how do they end up getting one of these alternative tests as opposed to the federally regulated and recommended tests?
Right. So this sort of bleeds into a much bigger controversy about Lyme disease that many of your listeners will probably be familiar with, which is there's extraordinary controversy over three aspects of Lyme disease. One, its diagnosis. Two, its treatment. And third, how long the illness can last. Every year, there's 3.4 million Lyme tests that go on that are federally recommended. So most mainstream doctors will send your blood away and have this Lyme test, and it will come back. The problem is it's not perfect. The federally recommended test early on in the disease will not diagnose you with Lyme if you just got it. That's because your body has to produce enough antibodies for the test to detect. And so if you just got bit by a tick and your body hasn't produced enough of these antibodies, you're going to probably test negative. Later on, the test becomes very accurate. So after a week or two, you know, if you have Lyme disease, it'll pop up. But that problem has really fueled a lot of the debate from the Lyme community who feel like the FDA tests are very inaccurate. And many people land in this very parallel medical world to the medical establishment where doctors call themselves Lyme literate, where they will diagnose you simply by looking at you or by using one of these tests. But the problem is there's no real validity or really peer review process behind that. So you're really just trusting their word when the doctors tell you of Lyme or trusting a test that hasn't been gone through the proper scientific review.
But the proponents of those tests will say, well, our tests pick up more Lyme. They pick it up when it's perhaps chronic or when it's early or right. When the levels are low.
Right. And they may, but I think most people would understand that you want to be sure that they're saying that, right? I could go in outside my house and hang a shingle and say, I'm going to have a Lyme test and I'm going to have the best Lyme test in the world. But unless someone is independently reviewing that and saying that, yes, hey, I tried what you tried and I got the same results, I believe your test is right. Really, patients and doctors are just trusting that lab's word. There's one lab outside Philadelphia I've been looking at for a couple of years now, called Advanced Laboratory Services, that regulators and scientists have raised serious concerns about. The lab had promised validated results from an independent third party by this past April, and they've not yet delivered it. That raises questions, right? Like, they haven't yet proven their test works, yet they're selling it every single day to patients who are paying for it out of their own pocket.
Do we know how many patients are getting these non-proven Lyme tests?
So one of the most popular labs I talked to in California said they have about 25,000 tests a year. Advanced Laboratory Services told me last year they have about 4,000 tests, but now they're down to only about 50 a week.
Let's talk about costs. How much are people paying for the federally recommended tests, and what about the unregulated tests?
Yeah, so I mean, I think the cost comparisons are fairly similar. For the FDA tests, you know, it can start out at $127 and go up to maybe $400 or more for more complicated tests. For unregulated tests, it can, you know, probably start around $100 for the very cheap ones, but it can go up to $1,000 very quickly. The difference is, though, is the patient paying for it themselves? In a lot of the federally recommended tests, it's covered by insurance for the most part, but many insurers, if not most, do not reimburse for these alternative Lyme tests. So the patient has to pay out of pocket for them.
What has to happen next for these tests to be standardized in some way and for patients to get answers?
Yeah, so the issue is bigger than Lyme. It goes for many, many diagnostic tests, but I think most people would agree that there needs to be standards for diagnostic tests. You can't have people making claims and selling tests that have not proven they work yet. I mean, that seems sort of basic, I think, to most members of the public. The problem is there's not a lot of effort to standardize those tests. Companies really are just either they really want to help patients in trying novel tests and selling them to the public, or they're just trying to make a dollar, some of them perhaps, but there's no real impetus by them to get standardized.
But Beth, it does seem like there is a demand for these tests because on some level, being diagnosed with Lyme disease offers an answer. When you have a whole lot of different symptoms and you're just not feeling right, and it seems like sometimes patients want that answer.
Yeah, I mean, I think it is. It's interesting, right? Patients are very desperate. They're sick. They know they're sick, but they have not been told by the medical establishment what they have, so they look for answers elsewhere. And sometimes they get better from these alternative treatments, and that's good. So it's not such a clear answer like you should only believe the medical establishment and not others. It's an individual decision, not so much for the test, but basically how you want to proceed in getting diagnosed and trying treatment to get better at something.
Beth Daly is with the New England Center for Investigative Reporting and has just written about tests for Lyme disease. Beth, thank you so much for joining us.
Yeah, thank you so much, too.
Beth Daly did reach out to Advanced Laboratory Services, one of the labs producing these tests, and she received a response from the company's spokeswoman saying that validation studies were delayed but would still be conducted.